This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday. We are going to talk about Democrat plans. James Carville laid it out. We know what's coming. We're going to talk about the Senate. John Thune's a failure. Surprise, surprise. We got rid of quite the immigration judge. We'll do some emails, all that, so much more coming up in the final hour of the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, I want to go back to something we played earlier. This is about Virginia, this super important election that's happening today, where Virginia is going to decide, do we basically eliminate all the Republican congressional seats? And there's no way you can look at doing that and say, well, that's fair. Well, that's okay. That's right. So what do you do? If you're a communist, you simply justify it. We have no choice. Communists will always do this when it comes to everything. It's not just the elections in Virginia. Every single thing, everything, they will turn the danger level up to an 11 to justify doing all the evil crap they always want to do. Well, we have to. We're fighting Nazis. We're fighting Hitler. We have no choice. Women will die. Children will die. I have no choice but to do this horrible freaking thing. Tim King talking about Virginia.
The state is relatively split with a left lean, but 90% of House members from Virginia being from one party.
90% of Virginians are not Democrats. That's true.
Correct.
But about 100% of Virginians want election results to be respected. We're deeply worried that Donald Trump will try to interfere with the election results this November.
Donald Trump might steal elections this November. They have no evidence of that, by the way. But because we have lied to everybody, said Trump's going to steal seats, we have to steal seats. We have no choice. That's how it always works. And Democrats have plans. They have plans for what is coming. Why did I say, and why have I said before, that giving Democrats the House, Senate, and presidency is more dangerous than Iran having a nuclear bomb? And I will repeat that over and over and over and over and over again, because if you're an American residing in the United States of America, it is 100% true. Democrats taking the House, Senate, and the White House is more dangerous than Iran having a nuclear bomb. It's more dangerous than anything else happening, ever. Because they're going to destroy everything as fast as they can. Virginia is actually a great example of this. They ran Abigail Spanberger as being kind of a moderate, middle-of-the-road, normal Democrat. Why did they run her that way? Just to get her in there. She lied through her teeth about every stance on everything. I'm a moderate. I'm one of you. I'm this. And then she got elected, and Virginians are living in hell right now as every single communist policy is being rammed through, and they're thinking, what did we do? So let me read this. This is from the Morse Report. Top Democrat political consultant and campaign strategist James Carville just stated on the left-wing Policon podcast, when Democrats regain power, they plan to, and here it is, grant statehood to Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico so Democrats can unlock an extra four seats in the Senate. All four of those seats will be Democrat seats. Pack the Supreme Court from 9 justices up to 13, adding another 4 left-wing justices on the court. That would be 4 justices, as you know. They'd be Ketanji Brown Jackson types who would vote to protect the communist revolution. We'd never win another case. Another one. Reopen the U.S.-Mexico border and grant mass amnesty to every single alien currently inside the United States of America. And this last part is the most important part. His advice to Democrat politicians: don't run on it. Don't talk about it. Just do it. Lie. It is April of 2026. Between now and November of 2028, Democrats in the United States of America are going to bend over backwards to try to sound relatively normal so the American people will make the drastic mistake of giving them power again. But if the American people do it, if they take that step, they are going to burn this country to ash. They're just going to lie between now and then. And if the American people screw it up, we are going to pay for the rest of our lives for that mistake. We will. The only lesson Democrats learned from last time was they didn't go far enough. We've talked about this over and over and over again. There has been not a single major Democrat, honestly, minor Democrat, who came out and said, we shouldn't have done this. We shouldn't have arrested 1,000 January 6ers. We shouldn't have coordinated with the DOJ in Georgia and New York to arrest Donald Trump. We shouldn't have done that. That was too far. They all are saying, we haven't gone far enough. We haven't gone far enough. What if we have a United States Senate full of these people?
And now we need folks who are willing to rip ICE apart, to start over and make sure that we have immigration policy that is grounded in actual safety. So it is time for us to do everything that we can. And if people look to Minnesota, what I want them to know is that we are not powerless. We have the ability to push back, to organize, and that everybody who can.
We cannot let these people have power. It is everything. It is a nuclear bomb dropped on us in the continental United States of America if Democrats take power again. To be honest, I'm quite worried about them having the House and Senate after the midterms. I don't know that they're going to. I don't know that. Neither do you. No one knows that yet. But that is a big concern. Now, let's just talk about the ICE part of it. Again, this is the Democrat Party platform.
And now we need folks who are willing to rip ICE apart.
Okay. Remember Democrats created 3-4 hour wait times at the airport? What was that, last month? What was that about? That was about funding ICE, funding DHS. They didn't want to do that anymore. Democrats do not have a majority in the House. They do not have a majority in the Senate. As the minority party, Democrats were able to create 3- and 4-hour wait times in the airport, deny TSA agents paychecks, all those kinds of things. As the minority party, they have prevented the passage of the SAFE Act. The minority party. They do not have a chairmanship in any committee. They're not running the House or Senate. As the minority party. What if they have the House? What if they have the Senate? What are they going to do with majorities in the House and Senate? What does that mean for us? And we still deal with this crap. John Thune's Senate has delayed weaponization prosecutors in John Brennan probe for 2 months. We've been trying to get prosecutors to expose John Brennan's crimes that he committed. We've been trying to get the people in there to lead that investigation. Our current Senate majority leader continues to stall and delay and stall and delay and stall and delay, almost as if he's waiting until Democrats can take power again and stop the whole thing. Now, I did the best I could to try to stop John Thune from becoming majority leader back when the Republicans were getting ready to vote on that. But that's one of those non-sexy blocking and tackling things that was largely ignored by the GOP, certainly ignored by most GOP voters, ignored by the White House. Not a big deal. But it's one of those things, like blocking and tackling, when you don't have it, it kind of becomes all that matters in the world. It kind of becomes the most important thing in the world. What if John Thune goes from being majority leader to minority leader? How much worse off are we? We need to be hyper-focused. Hyper-focused domestically now. All right? All right. We'll do some emails. Focus.
But my focus is just stay focused.
Do some emails before we expose our immigration judges of some of these wackadoodles we have in this country. Before we do that, let's talk about hiring Americans. America first. You care about that, don't you? I do too. But do you care about that while also paying Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile for your cell service every month? Because that's kind of talking out of both sides of your mouth. Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile hire as many foreigners as they possibly can. That's why when you get a hold of someone at customer service, you can't ever talk to somebody who actually speaks English. But your talk hires Americans right here at home. American jobs. Pure Talk not only charges you less for the exact same service, you can keep your phone, you keep your phone number. When you talk to them, it's 10 minutes on the phone speaking to a pleasant American. You might just want to keep them on the phone. Don't do that. They have work to do. But you might just feel like keeping them on the phone because they're actually nice to talk to. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly, switch to Pure Talk. You don't need those other garbage companies. Emails, next.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Monday. Remember, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Hey, Jesse, not sure how I missed it, but occasionally I do miss a day of the show. Then I will fall asleep listening to the podcast, and I'll wake up to a show playing months ago. So this happened just now, and I landed on January 12th. I heard your talk on credit cards. How did you not graduate from community college?
Well,
you see, in life, sometimes there are barriers put up in front of you, unfair barriers that if you can't go around them or go over them or barge through them, they will keep you, they'll keep you from things in life. Oftentimes they're unfair. If you want to be a horse jockey, for example, you know you have to be light. That's why horse jockeys are all like 5 feet tall and weigh 120. Why are they so small? Well, they don't want the horse carrying Joy Behar. They would never win. So you have to find somebody light. That's why you'll never see a feminist jockey, ever. Barriers are set up in life, oftentimes unfair barriers. When it comes to Pima Community College, fully accredited community college, they have a barrier, and it's called Algebra 101. They insist that you have to pass this class in order to be able to get something like an associate's degree, which is pretty lofty, or just a full degree. Algebra 101 is one of those barriers I was unable to cross or charge through. I even dropped it a couple times thinking maybe it was just a bad teacher. What, Chris? What? Don't they teach that in high school? No. 101 is advanced, Chris. 101 is, well, in high school, you're learning Algebra 1, I think. So this is like 100 levels higher than high school algebra, which explains why I was not able to overcome it. Bad teaching and everything else. Hey, Bronco, we don't seem to hear as much about as much from FBI Director Kash Patel. I admit some of his attempts at staying visible were a little cringeworthy, but it seems like we've heard less and less from him after Dan Bongino left. Do you think he has reached the point of realizing he's stuck with a corrupt bureau of communist agents who are slow-walking reforms? Well, he's currently suing the Atlantic. That's something. FBI Director Kash Patel files a $250 million defamation lawsuit against the Atlantic. Apparently, The Atlantic published some articles saying he's a drunk and all these other things. I haven't heard that kind of stuff about Kash Patel, in case you're wondering if any of that's valid. I'm not saying it's not valid. We don't talk. I don't know him. I've never spoken to him once in my life. I don't know whether it's valid or not, but anyway, suing The Atlantic for it. I don't like, I'll give you two different perspectives on this. I do not like the things I have heard from the FBI whistleblowers who came forward under Joe Biden and gave up their careers. And I didn't like the things I heard after. I have not liked the things I've heard from them. I'm not talking about bad on them. I didn't like the things they were saying about Kash Patel. I didn't like what I was hearing. Okay? They say this stuff publicly, so I didn't like what I was hearing. However, the FBI cannot be fixed by anybody. Nobody. I couldn't fix the FBI. You could not fix the FBI. An evil secret state police agency of this size, with this much size and power, it has so many different layers to it. So many different employees, so many different layers to it. And so much of this stuff is cloaked in secret anyway, because that's the kind of thing a secret state police agency does. Yeah, you may be technically the director, but you know what every communist in the FBI knows? They know that Donald Trump is gone in 2028. And if Democrats happen to win the White House again, God forbid, but if Democrats win the White House again, Kash Patel is gone, and there will be the most committed communist you've ever seen in your life will take over the FBI in 2028. You pick the commie monster. That's who President Gavin Newsom is going to put in charge of the FBI. He is going to get personal assurances from that person that they will lock up as many Republicans as they possibly can in 4 years. That is coming if Democrats come back to the White House again. So if you're a communist in the FBI, you just got to keep your head down. No, you can't be as open in your communism as you were under Joe Biden, of course. Joe Biden wanted you to do that. Joe Biden provided incentives to go do that. No. Go arrest Republicans. That's your job. Now, Donald Trump doesn't want you doing that. So what do? Keep your head down and your mouth shut. That's it. You show up at work, you do what you're told to do, when you're told to do it, and you bide your time. You cannot reform secret state police agencies of this size. I cannot find one example in the history of mankind where you have been able to reform a powerful secret state police agency. It has to be broken up, disbanded completely. If you want to try to patch together something else, something brand new in the future, fine. But there is no human being walking the planet who can fix the FBI. It's not humanly possible. All right? We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns. Next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday. Now, before I get back to the emails, I promised you that I would give you a little example of the type of judges we have in this country. Remember, El Salvador did not go from being dangerous to ultra safe because they threw criminals in a dungeon. That was only part of it. The leader of El Salvador to this day will tell you El Salvador was saved when they removed the judges. And he even will tell you why. He said so publicly. Corrupt judges will protect the corrupt system from any reforms. You cannot reform and salvage a country without removing corrupt judges. It really probably is. You could probably make the argument that judges are the most powerful part of any nation. Because of there's so much decision making that rests in the hands of a judge. And so if you have a communist revolution and you have communist judges, well, that's a bit of a problem. Now let's talk about deportations. Why is it so freaking hard to deport people? There's a variety of reasons, but here's Here's one of the main reasons. I can't believe we have this system, but we do. You get a hearing. Did you know that? If you're in this country illegally, we can't just throw you on a plane and send you home, that you actually get a hearing. Well, I don't know why we give illegals a hearing, but they get hearings here. Who presides over a hearing? A judge. Who's going to make that call? A judge. Why do we have so many freaking foreigners trashing this country? I want to introduce you to Jeremiah Johnson. No, not that wonderful movie. Robert Redford, who's kind of a goober, but still a really great movie. Chris, did you ever see Jeremiah Johnson? It's a really great movie. Guy's wife gets killed. Well, spoiler alert, his wife gets killed by Indians, and then he gets really mad at the Indians, and he wants to go kill some Indians, and then they're trying to kill him, but he's killing the Indians. It's really great, Chris. It's really, what? They didn't give too much away there. Anyway, this is not that Jeremiah Johnson. This is how he's introduced. This is by the USA Today. 5 months after he was fired as a U.S. immigration judge, Jeremiah Johnson found himself rumbling into the highlands of Guatemala on a crowded bus, a bouquet of flowers in his hand. His unusual, if poetic, mission to visit relatives of an indigenous family who fled their village for the United States and won asylum in his courtroom. Johnson, 52, served nearly a decade as an immigration judge in San Francisco in a famously liberal circuit, hearing hundreds of asylum cases. Day in and day out, he heard stories of political, religious persecution, torture, violence, rape. He granted asylum 89% of the time. They get a hearing. 89% of the time, they stood in front of this guy and he said, you know what? You can stay. 89% of the time. The communists have been very, very, very intelligent with their revolution. Let's give some credit where it's due. The communists were able to identify vital choke points of power. Now, then again, they've always known they had to have the judges. They've always known that. The Soviet Union people knew. The Bolsheviks knew that. You have to get the judges. You have to, if you don't have a judge you like, you better get rid of them and install someone who's loyal. So it's not like America's communists reinvented the wheel. But they knew that that was one of those choke points of power you had to have. And they know when you get someone like Joe Biden in there, they'll import as many people as they possibly can. And then they understand those judges they have installed will keep those foreigners from being removed. It's a ratchet. That's why mass deportations, no matter how unpopular they may be from time to time, have to continue. If you're going to waste political capital on things that are unpopular, get rid of foreigners, because in the end, that helps you keep power. Bronco. I'm attaching my girlfriend's congressional representative's response. Oh, yeah, I saw. Anyway, this is some congressman. In response to his yes vote for TPS status for the 350,000 Haitians. Remember, we had a few Republicans who were dirty traitors. Days ago, this same man was discussing that the U.S. should seize Karg Island. McCormick is running unopposed in his primary. My dime is beyond beep that the only way to vote this rhino out of office is to vote Democrat, which she vehemently despises the idea of. How does she circle this square come fall or even moving forward? Says I can use his name. His name is Trey. Trey, I wish I could give you wisdom here, but I'm admitting this to you right now. I am so emotionally invested in this topic, I don't think I'm the one to ask. I, as I've explained 1,000 times to you, view the deportation question as being the question that will define whether America can be saved or not. If there is a Republican who is betraying us on this issue, I don't know that there is any kind of legal punishment you can visit on that person that would be out of line. For instance, Maria Salazar, as I mentioned, Maria Salazar is that scumbag Republican in Florida passing the DDD Act, trying to get that thing passed. I know Maria Salazar, from what I hear, has a primary. I don't know how legit that's going to be, if the guy has a chance or whatever. I don't know. I know she has a primary. But if I lived in Maria Salazar's district, obviously I would work for and vote for her primary opponent. But then, come general election time, I would be extremely torn on what to do. Now, I don't want to vote for the Communist Party because they're going to make everything worse. I realize that. But I have a hard time. I have a hard time juggling that emotion with this. Maria Salazar has to be punished for what she did. She does. Republicans who betray us on amnesty have to be punished for it. Again, legal punishment. Be smart. Don't be dumb. They have to be legally punished, politically punished for it. I don't know what I would do because, again, I'm too emotional about the subject. If I lived in Maria Salazar's district and she won her primary, I would be tempted to vote for the Democrat in the general election. I would. I don't know that I could do it. Gosh, I don't know if I could do it. But I would be tempted out of pure spite. That it would be completely out of spite, completely out of vengeance. Hey, I would talk myself into it somehow. At least the Democrat's going to stab me in the front instead of the back, that kind of thing. But Republicans have to be afraid to try to pass amnesty. And historically, Republican primary voters have not been great at punishing Republicans for that, but we're getting better. We are getting better. You're starting to see more venom from people on the right as this issue ramps up and up and up. You're starting to see more and more from people on the right where they don't want to hear it anymore. There's going to be less and less tolerance for amnesty talk from the base, and that's a very, very good thing. Republicans in Washington, D.C. do not completely comprehend how radicalized Americans are on this issue. They just do not. They'll learn. We may have to make them learn the hard way. All right, we're almost done. Hang on.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent Monday. If you miss me, you can email me. We'll be right back tomorrow. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Let's get to some of these. Jesse, you're a jerk. I listen on podcasts and I'm always a day or two behind. I listened to this. This is what democracy looks like on Friday. And I had that song in my head all weekend long. Thanks a lot, Small Hands. I love the show, says his name is Vinny. Again, I want to remind you that if you're angry with me about playing that song and sticking that song in your head, I stuck it in my own head. And I am now that you brought it up, I'm again having it rattle around inside of my head. It's terrible. I know it's terrible. I hate it. I wish I had never done it. I've opened Pandora's box. Chris, what if the song never leaves? I don't even, what if it's in there forever? And now people keep.
Just in case you're wondering. Hey, look this way. This is what democracy looks like. Show me what democracy looks like. This is what democracy looks like. Show me what democracy looks like.
I did not play that time. That was Chris. On my life. That was Jewish producer Chris. I don't need your hate mail anymore. That was Chris doing it because I did it to him first, and now he's fighting back. It's terrible. Dear Wheels, or Dr. Wheels, since you fancy yourself to be a world-class getaway driver, you have to wear the gold chain with the coin in it. It'll make you an even more confident street driver and racer. Seriously, though, I'm 50 years old. I wore a silver, white, gold, small link chain with my wedding ring on it when I was married. I'm in construction. I didn't want to lose a finger because of a ring getting cut or something. The chain belonged to my older brother that died at 35. I never took it off. I showered and slept with it. It wasn't tiny. It wasn't big or gaudy. I took it off 2 years ago and haven't worn it since. Maybe it's time to put it back on. So I have a wedding ring problem. I've been married 19 years. Okay. When I first got married, I got the standard wedding band. It was something cheap. I bought a grocery store. Was it a grocery store, Chris? Don't give me that face. A jewelry store, but it wasn't anything nice. It was just a silver looking thing. I don't remember what the metal was. It didn't cost. I think it was $300. I think it was maybe $300. So it was a standard kind of fat man's wedding band, right? Well, I never got used to it. I didn't like it when I'm trying to hold on to anything. I didn't like the feeling of having a ring there. So I started to notice this thing where guys are having these smaller, thinner wedding bands. No, it's not gay, Chris. These smaller, thinner wedding bands. And I'm holding it up now, Chris. I decided to go that route. Smaller, thinner. Only now, it's pretty sharp, man. And I've had a couple scares where I've been working on something around the house and it kind of hooked on something. It grabbed something. And I'll tell you what, it got the heart pumping. That's how bad it was. Well, now I want to change again. I think I want one of those rubber ones. You've seen those rubber ones, right? I think they're silicone or whatever it may be. I'm thinking about going that route. What, Chris? Chris said, just do what I do. Don't wear one. I guess I could go that route. Ob might have some questions. But I guess I could, what, Chris? You know what I need to do? I'll double my male vitality stack from chalk before I tell Ob about it. No, listen. My T levels are already through the roof. Before I inform her that I'm not wearing a wedding ring anymore, I probably should get them up even higher. Well, good news. Chalk is on it. The male vitality stack from chalk will jack your T levels up 20% in 90 days. That's 90 days. What's it after a year? I take it every day for years. Now, these are natural herbal supplements. Again, we need to handle our problems naturally. T levels are dropping. That's why you're tired. That's why you're in a bad mood. What you need is a male vitality stack or female vitality stack from Chalk. C-H-O-Q. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. You know what else will make you feel better? Red Lobster is bringing back its endless shrimp promotion for a limited time. If you have never had Red Lobster's shrimp scampi, and then taken the Cheddar Bay biscuits and dip them, don't shake your head, Chris, and dip them in the shrimp scampi, that little glorious bowl of lemon butter, you have not freaking lived. I'm telling you right now, go get some endless shrimp from Red Lobster. Also, these are Democrats. I'm not even kidding. That was how somebody was introduced at the Democrat convention in Michigan. We really can't have these people coming back to power. What kind of things are they going to do? Because they have no choice.
The state is relatively split with a left lean, but 90% of House members from Virginia being from one party?
90% of Virginians are not Democrats. That's true.
Correct.
But about 100% of Virginians want election results to be respected. We're deeply worried that Donald Trump will try to interfere with the election results this November or in 2028 because we saw him do it before. And we have to have a Congress that will stand up to it. In 2021, all five Republicans in Virginia went along with Donald Trump in his effort to overturn election results. And so we're giving Virginians a chance to vote, which Republican states have not done, about whether they want to have a congressional delegation that will stand up against Donald Trump's tyranny.
Donald Trump's going to steal an election. Donald Trump's Hitler, white supremacist. We have no choice. We have no choice. What might we do? We'll do this. We'll do that. Look, we have no choice. Don't give these people the House. Don't give these people the Senate. And please, I'm begging.
In the name of a just, merciful God.
Don't give them the House, Senate, and the presidency.
And now.
Here's a headline.
You know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Michigan refuses the Trump administration's demand for 2024 election ballots. Man, I wonder why they would refuse that demand. The latest shadow docket scandal proves between the justices and legacy media, SCOTUS is toast. I am hearing some pretty bad things about some rulings that are probably going to come down from the Supreme Court. We'll lick our wounds and move on. That birthright citizenship one, oh, please, fingers crossed. A Dobbs majority faced death threats. Liberal justices slow walk the release. Yes, when our justices were getting assassination attempts on them, the communist judges on the Supreme Court wanted more of those things to keep happening. Probably something to keep in the back of your head when they say things like, well, we'll pack the court with at least four more communist judges. What kind of things would that court do? Italian man sold fake Rolex that turned out to be real, an impossible crime against Singapore watch shop. I have a very difficult time believing any Italian man would not be able to spot an authentic Rolex versus a fake Rolex. I will be back tomorrow and we'll have some more fun, all right? Fingers crossed. Say a prayer for tonight. That's all.